Judge Laura, I think you're on the line. Are you there?
Yes, Peter. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
All right. Yeah, plugging away.
Good. Tell us about the community and the courts event.
Sure. So what we do in my courtroom is about every quarter we set up a day where the community is invited to come and observe hearings. The idea is that people can come and see actually what happens in the court and not what they think happens. And then after we have a couple hearings in the morning, usually we go from 9 to noon. We usually have about 3 or 4 hearings in that time frame. Then we'll all sit for lunch and discuss what they saw, some of the issues that came out of those hearings, and then answer questions from the community. I'm usually joined by either another judge or someone else who can assist me with answering those questions, like a staff attorney.
And you've got an event of this sort coming up on Monday the 24th, I think?
That is correct. The community is invited to come on in. Court starts at 9, and we usually go 9, 10, 11 with settings. And then we do lunch.
Where's lunch? At the courthouse or elsewhere?
Yes. Well, it'll be in my courtroom.
Okay. And that's courtroom 2, right?
That's correct.
Tell folks, I believe that they need to confirm they're going to do it by a certain point. Am I right about that? Or
we do ask people to let us know by this Wednesday if they're able to make it or not. You can email my office at lcrdymg@nmcourts.gov, or you can just call my office at 575-523-8235. And we just ask for an RCP count so we know how much food to order. Typically, what happens is people call RCP, and then I'll send you an email probably this Friday in advance of Monday's event telling you these are the cases that are on the docket. Here's kind of the background. That way everyone's a little bit more informed as to what's going to happen.
And you've held several of these before, or at least one before, right? Or
we've done, I think this will be our 6th or 7th one since I took the bench.
How's that gone in the sense of, I'm curious, what are some of the reactions people have had or misconceptions about the court that got cleared up or anything of that sort?
I think the reactions are people are just shocked at the level of work that we have to do with regard to the issues that come before me. Everyone seems to think that it's just okay, someone presents a problem and the judge decides X or Y, and instead it's the problem has layers. You know, there's an economic issue, there's a mental health issue, there's a criminal case pending. And so all those different layers of a case get handled by myself or the other judges, and then we're expected not only to solve for the initial problem, but also everything else that's happening as well.
For people whose only experience with courts is what they see on TV, what misconceptions do people get when that's the only experience they have is the television dramas?
I think the first one is that it's all wrapped up in a neat bow within, you know, a 45-minute period. It's not. Usually cases last quite a bit of time, years in my particular case. Right. I think the second misconception is that there are just the resources available all the time to solve that problem. You know, there's only so many mental health therapists, only so many treatments, only so many counselors and auxiliary staff are available in Las Cruces to solve some of the issues we face. And I think the last one is that it's combative. You know, yes, court can be contentious, but it's not meant to be that way. It should be and usually can be collaborative, as long as everybody remembers we're there to solve a problem, not attack one another.
Well, that's kind of inherent in our system, though.
No, that's true. I mean, but that's the difference between family court and other courts, which is what I primarily do. Is we're not there. I'm not there to hear about why person A or B is a bad person. I'm here to solve whatever their issue is. You know, who's paying child support, who's getting divorced, what are we doing with custody? And that requires a collaborative effort.
And are people surprised to see that, you know, citizens or?
I think so. I think, I mean, that seems to be the reaction I get from people during the lunches is I didn't realize that you had to cover so many different things or that individuals who come before me do not have a grounding in some of the basic things that we might have a grounding in. Like, this is how you communicate. This is how you don't communicate. You know, how do you raise a child? How do you compromise? How do you, you know, mediate issues? That seems to be a lot of what I end up doing, and I think that surprises the public when they come to us.
Yeah, the other thing, like I said, all the courtroom trials, it's all criminal stuff. In family court, how often are you dealing with people who are there without an attorney and without really much knowledge of the legal system?
I'd say 85 to 90% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And go ahead.
Yeah, describe the problem. Describe the problem that poses for you or problems.
Well, I think the first thing is we all need to be educated as to what's going on and what our rights and responsibilities are. And so I do take some time to discuss that with people. Add in the layer of living and working in Dona Ana County, where individuals necessarily don't speak English or may not be literate, which creates a whole other set of challenges that we need to meet. But fundamentally, you know, what I have to spend my time doing is explain to people, we're on step number one, here's what we're going to do. All right, now we're done with step one, now we're going to do step two, now we're going to do step three. And I have to remind them again, you know, this isn't about why Walt and Peter don't get along. This is about what Walt and Peter are going to do with the house that they bought together or whatever the situation is. And that's a lot of my time is redirecting and refocusing people.
You know, the role of attorneys is interesting in our society. And as one, I had a lot of situations where, if somebody didn't have an attorney, they were crazy. They might do anything. If they had an attorney, the attorney might control them, talk sense into them, whatever. And I think they do that in cases. People accuse attorneys of trying to blow cases up. My experience, they're more often trying to calm their clients down and find a settlement. But in divorce cases, from the outside, it looks as if a lot of times when attorneys get involved, it destroys everything, blows up the costs phenomenally, of course. And you have an attorney for each side, and each one, based on our system, has to aggressively represent his or her client. And they end up fighting each other to an extent that maybe could have been avoided, and the existence of them is counterproductive. Is that complete hogwash, or does it make some sense, but it's not our system, or what's your reaction?
The typical lawyer answer is it depends.
Yeah.
The attorneys that I see regularly understand that, yes, their job is to zealously represent their clients. But their job is also to, okay, let's get you divorced. Let's figure out this custody fight. Let's figure out what we're going to do with child support. So they want a resolution too. I have never met a divorce lawyer or family lawyer who wants a case to last for decades, because, you know, that's not a good business model, first of all. And second of all, that's not what our task is as lawyers. On the flip side, though, lawyers are human beings, and they get upset, they get hurt, they get frustrated, they get all the usual emotions. And so they become invested along with their clients in the outcomes of these cases. And sometimes I see attorneys, and I have to remind them to put the professional distance that they need to be able to effectively represent their clients.
You know,
fundamentally, people are going to fight as long as they want to fight. And it's my job as a judge to try to remind them that that's not an effective use of their time or resources.
Can you talk a little bit, for people who aren't aware, about how the district court is broken up? You're the family, the family court. What are the other specific courts, and why do you do it that way? What advantages are there to that? And are you only the family court judge, or do you occasionally go into other cases? How does that all work?
Sure. So in the third district court, we are divisionalized informally. So what that means is that a district court judge can hear anything, criminal, civil, or domestic relations. Those are the three categories of cases. In the district court, they have decided that they're going to have three judges who primarily hear criminal, three judges who primarily hear civil, two judges who hear primarily domestic, and then one judge who's kind of a shortstop. They deal with criminal juvenile issues and other juvenile cases. Other courts are different. If you went to Chavez County in Roswell, everybody hears everything, and they just split all the different case types up by the number of judges they have. There are advantages of doing it this way. People can specialize or concentrate on an area that they are familiar with or that they like. There are disadvantages as well. We need three DM judges in Las Cruces. The caseloads are high enough that I think that would justify three of us, but we don't have another judge to devote to that. To answer your last question, Walt, I do regularly hear other case types. I have a bunch of civil cases. I get assigned to criminal matters. It just depends on what walks in the door. But my primary docket, I'd say about 85% of it is domestic relations, and then everything else is just kind of a hodgepodge of whatever comes in the door.
Okay.
What? Let's get back briefly to the community and the courts event. Reiterate for folks how they can, when they need to register for that, and when it is.
Sure. So our event will be Monday the 24th, starting at 9 o'clock at the district courthouse. You are invited to come in starting at 9 o'clock. To noon to observe whatever's going on in my courtroom at the time, and we have about three or four hearings set for that day. The public is always invited to court, but we set aside special days for me so that people can come in, see what they're going to see, and then at lunch we can have a conversation about what happened. If people want to participate, they can do it two ways. They need to email my office by Wednesday so I know how much food to order on Monday. And you can email us at lcrdymg@nmcourts.gov, or you can call my office at area code 575-523-8235.
Yeah, people forget that the courts are public. With a few exceptions, trials are open. And it's interesting, 100 some years ago, they were, in a lot of cities, the entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, just would go watch a criminal trial and see what happened and, find it interesting. Let me ask you one last question, because we're running out of time. Sure. What's the hardest part of being a judge?
Wow. I think the hardest part for me personally is seeing my neighbors struggle with things that are out of their control.
Mm-hmm.
This person is not doing their job as a parent well because they're addicted to some substance. This person can't provide child support because they've lost their job. Things like that. I'm just a judge. I can't fix those things. And our society doesn't have the resources for everybody. I think that's the most difficult part. And the people who suffer are the children and the families.
Well, thank you, Judge Robert Lara. May see you on the 24th at the Courts and Community event. And congratulations on your dog's 7th birthday. I think I saw that on Facebook. But we'll talk to you again soon.